Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and this is chapter 38 of the book of Genesis. Let's ask the Lord to bless it. Father God, we thank and praise you that you're hearing every word that we're saying, and that you know every thought. And what a shame it would be for us to pray to you without knowing that you're receiving the words that we're saying to you. And I know that when you receive it, Lord, and we ask in the name of Jesus that you're going to bless this tape. And I pray, Lord, that you open up everyone's receiving kits to receive everything that's said and the intention of it and to receive the purpose of it. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen, and the entire staff here says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead.
Chapter 38, King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua, and he took her and went in unto her. And she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur.
Yeah, going into her means that he got married to her. And keep going.
And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son, and called his name Shelah. And he was at Kizib when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, Go in unto thy brother's wife, and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. Then said Judah to Tamar his daughter-in-law, Remain a widow at thy father's house, till Shelah my son be grown. For he said, Lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Commentary, verse 1 through 11. Judah and Tamar. About this time, Judah left home and moved to Adullam, where he visited a man named Hira. There he met a Canaanite woman, the daughter of Shua, and he married her.
So she was an African. And then what?
She became pregnant and had a son. And Judah named the boy Then Judah's wife had another son, and she named him Onan. And when she had a third son, she named him Shelah. At the time of Shelah's birth, they were living at Kizib. When the oldest son, grew up, Judah arranged his marriage to a young woman named Tamar. But was a wicked man in the Lord's sight, so the Lord took his life. Then Judah said to brother, Onan, quote, You must marry Tamar, as our law requires of the brother of a man who has died. Her first son from you will be your brother's heir.
So this is the Levirate law that really was distinguished predominantly in the law of Moses, where if a person's died, a man died, and he hadn't left a namesake, a son, that the brother would marry the wife of the one that died to raise up seed or to cause his name to remain in the land. And this later was instituted or was into the law of Moses. And this one refused to raise up seed unto his brother. The firstborn would be the firstborn of his inheritance, and then every child thereafter that he would have would be his own. And he refused to do that. He didn't want to raise up seed to his brother. He didn't want to keep his name alive in the world. and to the Lord that was evil. Then what?
Verse 9, commentary. But Onan was not willing to have a child who would not be his own heir. So whenever he had intercourse with Tamar, he spilled the sperm on the ground to keep her from having a son who would belong to his brother. But the Lord considered it a wicked thing for Onan to deny a child to his dead brother. So the Lord took Onan's life too. Then Judah told Tamar his daughter-in-law not to marry again at that time, but to return to her parents' home. She was to remain a widow until his youngest son, Shelah, was old enough to marry her. But Judah didn't really intend to do this, because he was afraid Shelah would also die like his two brothers. So Tamar went home to her parents. King James Version, verse 12. And in process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted, and went up unto his sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, Behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way, and said, Go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, What wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, Wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, What pledge shall I give thee? And she said, Thy signet, and thy bracelets, and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it her, and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. Commentary, verse 12 through 18. In the course of time, Judah's wife died. After the time of mourning was over, Judah and his friend Hira the Adullamite went to Timnah to supervise the shearing of his sheep. Someone told Tamar that her father-in-law had left for the sheep shearing at Timnah. Tamar was aware that Shelah had grown up, but they had not called her to come and marry him. So she changed out of her widow's clothing and covered herself with a veil to disguise herself. Then she sat beside the road at the entrance to the village of Enaim, which is on the way to Timnah. Judah noticed her as he went by and thought she was a prostitute, since her face was veiled. So he stopped and propositioned her to sleep with him, not realizing that she was his own daughter-in-law. Quote, How much will you pay me? Tamar asked. Quote, I'll send you a young goat from my flock, Judah promised. What pledge will you give me so I can be sure you will send it? She asked. Quote, Well, what do you want? He inquired. She replied, Quote, I want your identification seal, your cord, and the walking stick you are carrying. So Judah gave these items to her. She then let him sleep with her, and she became pregnant. King James Version, verse 19. And she arose and went away, and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, Where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, There was no harlot in this place. Commentary, verse 19 through 21. Afterwards she went home, took off her veil, and put on her widow's clothing as usual. Judah asked his friend Hira the Adullamite to take the young goat back to her and to pick up the pledges he had given her, but Hira couldn't find her. So he asked the men who lived there, quote, "Where can I find the prostitute who was sitting beside the road at the entrance to the village?" Quote, "We've never had a prostitute here," they replied. King James Version, verse 22. "And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, Let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her." Commentary, verse 22 and 23. "So Hira returned to Judah and told him that he couldn't find her anywhere, and that the men of the village had claimed they didn't have a prostitute there. Quote, Then let her keep the pledges, exclamation mark, Judah exclaimed. Quote, We tried our best to send her the goat. We'd be the laughing stock of the village if we went back again." King James Version, verse 24. "And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar thy daughter-in-law hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, Bring her forth, and let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, By the man whose these are, am I with child. And she said, Discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet, and bracelets, and staff." Commentary, verse 24 and 25. About 3 months later, word reached Judah that Tamar, his daughter-in-law, was pregnant as a result of prostitution. Quote, "Bring her out and burn her!" exclamation mark, Judah shouted. But as they were taking her out to kill her...
And that was the law of Moses, that if the person be found a prostitute, to burn her with fire. And then later it was in Deuteronomy where they would be stoned to death, or be burnt with fire or stoned to death. So what he was saying was something that would later be in the law of Moses. But it was the law then. People knew what the law was back then, but it was just never written down. Okay, then what?
"But as they were taking her out to kill her, she sent this message to her father-in-law. Quote, The man who owns this identification seal and walking stick is the father of my child. Do you recognize them? King James Version, verse 26. And Judah acknowledged them and said, She hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah my son. And he knew her again no more. Amen. Commentary, verse 26. Judah admitted that they were his and said, quote, She is more in the right than I am, because I didn't keep my promise to let her marry my son Shelah. But Judah never slept with Tamar again. King James Version, verse 27. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass that when she travailed, that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, This came out first. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, How hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. Commentary, verse 27 through 29. In due season, the time of Tamar's delivery arrived, and she had twin sons. As they were being born, one of them reached out his hand, and the midwife had a scarlet thread around the wrist of the child, who appeared first, saying, quote, This one came out first. But then he drew back his hand, and the other baby was actually the first to be born. Quote, What! Exclamation mark, the midwife exclaimed. How did you break out first? And ever after, he was called Perez.
How do you spell it? P-E-R-E-Z.
Yes.
Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 30. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah.
How do you spell it?
Z-A-R-A-H.
Okay, that's good to spell it, because the reader here doesn't know. Then what?
Commentary, verse 30. Then the baby with the scarlet thread on his wrist was born, and he was named Zerah.
Okay, that was the end of the verses in chapter 38, and now this is commentaries.
38, verse 1 through 30. The account of Joseph is interrupted to preserve this account of Judah.
Right, it's amazing how we're talking about Joseph, and then all of a sudden it comes in here with this incident with Judah. So the story, the documentary on Joseph was interrupted by this scene because of the importance of it. Okay, go ahead.
It is important because Perez, verse 29, was a direct ancestor of David. Ruth 4:18 through 22. Quote, now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David.
So that's an important thing. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
It is important because Perez, verse 29, was a direct ancestor of David, and because Judah occupied an important role in Hebrew history. The account revolves around the, quote, levirate marriage, unquote, a marriage provision intended to ensure that a man who died childless could have his lineage continue through his brother. Deuteronomy 25:5-10. Quote, if brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders, and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him, and speak unto him. And if he stand to it, and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders, and loose his shoe from off his foot, and spit in his face, and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. Unquote. 38, verse 1. Quote, about this time Judah left home and moved to Adullam, where he visited a man named Hira. Adullam was located in the hills about 9 miles northwest of Hebron. A cave near there was David's headquarters while hunted by Saul. 1 Samuel 22:1. Quote, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Unquote. 38, verse 7. Quote, but was a wicked man in the Lord's sight, so the Lord took his life. Unquote. The Lord killed him. The Bible, the people attribute both good and evil.
The people of Israel attribute both good and evil to God, because he makes people alive and he kills them also. That's all God. He brings about evil in your life if you're doing evil, and he brings about good. The people of Israel know that, and the people, the children of the body of Christ, must know that. Okay, then go ahead.
The people of Israel attribute both good and evil, life and death, to God. Isaiah 45:7. Quote, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Unquote. This premature death was a judgment for Ur's wickedness. 38:9. Quote, but Onan was not willing to have a child who would not be his own heir. So whenever he had intercourse with Tamar, he spilled the sperm on the ground to keep her from having a son who would belong to his brother. Unquote. The heir, be his, the firstborn to the levirate marriage, was considered the child of the dead brother. When can mean, quote, whenever, end quote, indicating Onan would never accept his responsibility to father a child. 38:10, quote, but the Lord considered it a wicked thing for Onan to deny a child to his dead brother, so the Lord took Onan's life too, unquote. Onan was judged for his continued planned rebellion against the purpose of the marriage.
Of course, now in the New Testament, that doesn't hold brother marrying the wife and all these sort of things. Because now, it's a spiritual thing. We're all brothers and sisters, those of us that walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what else?
Okay, 38:15.
That would be really bad for a woman who is saved to be married with an unsaved brother of her dead husband. That would really be sin, just as much sin as any of the sins that they were committing. Then what else?
38:15, quote, Judah noticed her as he went by and thought she was a prostitute, since her face was veiled, unquote. Prostitute here indicates a cult harlot prostitute. This shows the depravity of both Judah and the world into which he married. It was not only an act of fornication, but of idolatry. 38:23, quote, then let her keep the pledges, Judah exclaimed. We tried our best to send her the goat. We'd be the laughing stock of the village if we went back again, unquote. Shamed, Judah is ironically concerned about his reputation. 38:24, quote, about 3 months later, word reached Judah that Tamar, his daughter-in-law, was pregnant as a result of prostitution. Quote, bring her out and burn her, Judah shouted. End quote. Let her be burned. Judah was using a legal expression. Again, the Mosaic law later incorporated this earlier provision, death to an adulteress by fire. Leviticus 21:9. Quote, and the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father. She shall be burnt with fire.
And now it's even stronger in the New Testament, whereas if a woman looks upon any person with lust, they are considered to be an adulteress if she's married, and a fornicator if she is lusting after any man or woman or beast. And it's the same thing with a man. So the Lord strengthens this because he knows that the power of God that lives in human beings that are born again of the Spirit is more powerful than the lust of fornication, adultery, or bestiality, or any other kinky, sinful thing. Okay.
Again, the Mosaic law later incorporated this earlier provision, death to an adulteress by fire, or more commonly, by stoning. Deuteronomy 22:21. Quote, "Then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel, to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you." Unquote.
This is something that females today feel is like nothing, to commit adultery or fornication or lust. And the same thing with men, but the Lord hasn't changed at all. And if you don't, just because you're not stoned here in this world or burnt with fire, you will burn eternally with fire in hell and in the lake of fire. So it doesn't make any difference if you don't believe it, you will one of these days. Okay, then what?
38 verse 25, quote, "But as they were taking her out to kill her, she sent this message to her father-in-law, quote, 'The man who owns this identification seal and walking stick is the father of my child. Do you recognize them?' Unquote. The signet was a personal identification seal hanging from a cord about its owner's neck. The staff had markings on it as well. Tamar knew these items would be easily recognized by everyone in the household. 38, verse 27 through 30. Quote, "In due season, the time of Tamar's delivery arrived, and she had twin sons. As they were being born, one of them reached out his hand, and the midwife had a scarlet thread around the wrist of the child who appeared first, saying, quote, 'This one came out first.' But then he drew back his hand, and the other baby was actually the first to be born. Quote, 'What?' exclamation mark, the midwife exclaimed. 'How did you break out first?' And ever after he was called Perez. Then the baby with the scarlet thread on his wrist was born, and he was named Sarah." End quote. The birth events are obviously miraculous. This is another incident of God's providence, whereby the younger received preferred status.
Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. That was chapter 38 of the book of Genesis. And we'll be doing 39 this evening, Lord willing. Until then, keep your mind concentrated on the Lord. For this is a very wicked day, the Lord says, every day, and sufficient is the evil of every day. So just concentrate, live one day at a time, and stay in the spirit so that you can quench all the fiery darts of Satan and dodge all of his intentions of slaughtering you and sending your soul to hell. Keep looking up. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen.